In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
As we hear this gospel today, Jesus is about halfway on his journey toward Jerusalem. It was about four chapters before this that Luke told us that Jesus had indeed set his face to go to Jerusalem. At that point, it was already after his transfiguration. Peter had already declared, "Yes, you indeed are the Messiah." And it's after that that he sets his face and is bound and determined that he is going to Jerusalem. Clearly, that's a turning point in Luke's story. Prior to that, Jesus has traveled all over Galilee, even beyond Galilee, into foreign territory. And by now, he's ready. He knows that he must go to Jerusalem. It's his destination. And he's already predicted three times that it's the cross that awaits him when he gets there. Even though he makes himself very clear on this point, he seems to be taking his time getting there. That will happen about six more chapters from now. So there's a lot that's going to happen between what we hear today and when he eventually gets to Jerusalem. About half of everything that we know about Jesus is going to be in those chapters. It's going to be everything that happens up until we hear the story of his passion. So you might wonder why Jesus takes so long to get to Jerusalem once he finally decides unequivocally that that's where he must go. And in this very short passage that we heard today, we know that he's about halfway there. And I know that listening to this passage, Luke is reminding us of something that's important. That no matter how long it seems to take, Jesus will get to Jerusalem. Even when he hears Herod threatening him with violence, he knows that Herod will not be able to stop him. He will get to Jerusalem. And even though he knows that that is the end point of his life, he still knows he must go there. So it seems a little bit odd that Jesus' determined, courageous march to Jerusalem takes so long. But it's not just odd, it's important that it take this long. We ourselves are in the midst of an important time of preparation as we are in the middle of Lent. And we know what awaits us once we get to Palm Sunday and we listen to the Passion story yet one more time. And we know how important Jesus' resurrection, his death, are to us. We relive and we remember all of those events of Maundy Thursday and Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday, and are deep down very grateful to God for all that he has accomplished through Jesus in that time. Yet with all the importance that that does hold for us and how vital it is for our faith, the story today reminds us of something else. We're reminded to pay attention to the work of the rest of Jesus' life and not to overlook it. When we slow down and pay attention to those 10 chapters that represent Jesus' journey to Jerusalem, we notice at least two things. One, Jesus is indeed determined to make his way there. He is going there. No one can stop him. Not Peter, not Herod, no one. The second thing is, he's going to take all the time he needs to follow the calling, the mission that we heard about way back in the beginning of his ministry. You'll remember that he went to his hometown in Nazareth, and he was in the synagogue and given the book of Isaiah to read. And he unrolled that scroll and found the passage that said this: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And up until his dying breath, he will do just that. Jesus will heal those who are ill. He'll teach his disciples and the crowds that follow him. He'll engage his opponents. He'll bless children. He'll restore to the community those that have been pushed aside. And he'll liberate those who are held captive by spirits that would rob them of abundant life. He's going to continue sharing stories of God's unending love. And he's going to argue for our own persistence in prayer and the pursuit of justice. And we hear today and in other places that he laments. He laments all those who refuse God's embrace and those who would cling instead to the protections and prizes that the world offers. And all of these things matter. They matter because they all put words and flesh and love and compassion onto that very sacrifice of Calvary and show in real ways the way that the love of God is worked out. So as significant and important as the cross may be for us, after all, indeed, it's the central revelation of God embracing all of humankind. It's the central revelation that shows that God's love triumphs over all. And as wonderful as that all is, and as significant it is to our faith, what Jesus says and does on the way to Jerusalem matters too. In this passage, which is about halfway on his journey to Jerusalem, Jesus displays determination and courage that's inspiring, even as he grieves over those who refuse to accept that love. It's midway. He's done a lot already, but there's more waiting for him to do. It's not yet the third day that he speaks about. And he will continue casting out demons. He will continue performing cures today, tomorrow, and the next day. And so here we sit, partway through our own trek to Holy Week, working out our own salvation, a salvation that was won by Jesus, but one in which he has left us our own work to do. For we all have a call as Christians. Jesus has died. Jesus is risen. He's ascended to the Father, and he is sure to come again. But meanwhile, he's left us with a commission too. And since we're called by his name, we are Christians. His work of healing and reconciliation has been passed on to each and every one of us. We each have a particular environment in which we live. We each have particular people that we engage with on a daily basis. We each are called to share that ministry of Jesus in a broken world in which the sick suffer, refugees are scorned, hatred for others abounds for large and small differences, physical and sexual abuse is all too common. How we answer the call to live out our Christian mission matters a lot. It matters. And every time we move to ease the suffering of even one person, it matters. It matters to them. It matters to us to do that. And it matters to God. What we do for the love of Jesus and for the love of God will help us grow from one glory to another as we too make our way to Jerusalem, to the cross, to resurrection, as we await the day of Jesus returning in glory. Jesus is not just making do in these 10 chapters between his outset for Jerusalem and his eventual arrival there. What he is doing matters, and what we do day in and day out. In between Jesus' resurrection on that first Easter Sunday and his eventual return in glory, while we're waiting, what we do matters. We need to take time. We need to take time to hug our children, time to greet our neighbor, time to befriend a stranger, to comfort one who grieves, to smile at someone who's afraid, to stand up for those who are being overlooked, to include those who are excluded by others, to welcome someone who's different, to care for those in need. All these things and more matter a lot. And just think of it. Without those in-between stories, we might imagine that the story of Jesus' death is just one more tragic account of a senseless, unnecessary, maybe even an unjust death. But Jesus didn't die accidentally. He died precisely because he gave attention to those people whom the larger world would say are insignificant and don't deserve a second look. Instead, what Jesus proclaimed was that God loves and embraces each and every one of us, each and every person in the world, not just the few who might be thought of as chosen or the best, but each and every person. And in a similar way, Jesus' resurrection is a story of the triumph of sacrificial love. The triumph over death, over hate, over injustice, over bigotry. The triumph over all that stands against the will of God. And that will of God is to love, to bless, and to save the whole world. So what Jesus does across these 10 chapters of his journey to Jerusalem, indeed, in any of the stories that we know about his ministry, it all matters. Both witnesses to and is the empowering love of God, a God who never gives up on you or me or anyone. And to me, it's amazing to think that in the small things and the large things that we do out of love, the God who created the heavens and the earth from nothing and raised Jesus from the dead is still at work in all of us and through all of us. So go. Join Jesus on his journey to Jerusalem. Join him in the work that he has laid out before you. Join him and extend that love of God to every person that you meet. Amen.